looked down and turned it on before Joe had to tell me. Amen. First, I want to thank people for praying for me. And I caught something. I'm not shaking hands tonight. Fevers broke in the middle of the night. I wanted to be able to be here. I feel much better than I did. And I just wished if I was going to get sick, that it would affect my appetite more. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're continuing this series of messages on God's will. God's will, His will for us. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, we could continue reading down. That sentence ends in verse 17, but we'll stop at this verse. You want the full context, you read again by yourself, verse down to 17, and we're looking for God's will. We need to know what God would have us to do. And as I said in this series of messages, if we've preached two already, is that if you're not willing to obey the general will of God in your life, you don't have any right to expect God to reveal a specific will in your life. Okay? First things first. And so you have to do that. And so we spent time looking at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. We looked at where it tells us to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what part hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And we've spent time on that. Then we looked at also at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Verse 5 tells us that it's God's will for us to be accepted in the beloved. And I love hearing that. Okay, I've got to go through a recap, but I like dwelling on that because I like to know, no matter what, there's one who accepts me. I'm accepted in the beloved. And if you don't believe you're accepted by others, know without a shadow of a doubt, if you're saved, you're accepted by Him. Okay, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He loves you with an everlasting love, and we spent some time on that. And then we looked at Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 21, knowing God's will by submission, and we looked at different things on that, knowing the submission that's needed, the wife to be in submission to her husband, and the husband to be in submission to the Lord. And when the husband's in submission to the Lord, it's easier for the wife to be in submission to him. If he's not, trust God, because you have to be able to obey God's word that's written to you as a female or written to you as a male. Okay, because you won't answer for what's written to them. You'll answer for what's written to you. Okay, and so we looked at that, and then last week we looked at obeying God from the heart, and we spent a lot of time on that. Okay, obeying God from the heart, and we looked at different verses dealing with that. And understanding that the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? It's desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the hearts. Okay, He's going to do that. And you need to realize that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And your heart is not talking about your emotional love. It's talking about your meditator. And if I can drive it home to you anymore, Pastor Kenny agrees with me. Love is not an emotion. It's a choice of the will. The emotion will follow the choice. If you choose to love somebody, your emotions will follow that. Do you realize God chose to love you when you were unlovable? Amen? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we spent time looking at that. And tonight, I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 3. Very easy. You want to know the will of God? It comes right out and says, this is the will of God. Is that hard to understand? What does that phrase mean? This is the will of God for every born-again believer. Okay? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. We also have forewarned you, as we have also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So his will for us, okay, is even your sanctification. Sanctification. I want you to look at Colossians. We're going to come back to 1 Thessalonians 4, but I want you to look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Watch this. Starting at verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom ye have received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. In Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. You see where it's happening here? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. I think many Christians don't fully realize the power of that. Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in what? All the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and to them that are in Laodicea, and them in Areopolis. See, you got here, you know what it is? I want you to know the preacher's job, one thing that Pastor Kenny and I will be held accountable to, one thing that Pastor Thomas with his young people will be held accountable to, is preparing you for your sanctification. That's something that we answer for. We answer to God for how we preach and teach you. Okay? And the preacher's job is your sanctification. It is yours and it is also ours. And people don't realize that sometimes. Sometimes when a preacher has to come down hard and we have to say something to people, you know, I like people to like me. I know it's difficult, okay? But I do like being liked. I don't like having to be hard. but many times you are. You know, you can learn that just by dealing with your children. A parent who soft soaks and allows the child to make the decision is not parenting properly. You're not to be their friend, you would be their authority. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a... But the other part of that verse, many people don't like. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Okay? Do you understand that we're under shepherds? And the shepherd has a hook, and he can get you by hook or by crook. Okay? His rod and staff, it says, they comfort you. I never felt it was comfortable when God was dealing with me when I was doing wrong. But whom the Lord loveth, he... and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you receive not chastening, then ye are bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. And that's scripture. Amen? So God's concerned about your sanctification. So what does that mean? Sanctification. The act of making holy. Multiple times in your Bible it says, be ye holy for I am holy. Sanctification is setting apart for sacred purpose. When you don't believe you have purpose in your life, I want you to know God has purpose in your life. He has something that He desires of you to bring Him glory. And for that to take place, you need to be set apart from the world. See, we are in the world, but not of the world. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his shall be. They can't fight against it. They can't fight against it. They'll try, but it doesn't work out. Because you know what I know? You need to know tonight? If you're saved, you and your Savior are a majority. Jesus said what? How much power was given unto him in heaven and earth? All power. All power. You have the availability of that in your life if you will believe it. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then what? Go ye therefore. See, that is a sacred purpose. Sacred purpose. It says, even your sanctification. God wants you set apart for Him. Now, that doesn't mean that you walk around saying, I'm holier than thou. That's not how that works. When we first started this church, before Pastor C came on, because we started it before he did, and just we were a bunch of baby believers, hadn't been saved a long time, and we didn't like what happened in Fairhaven, and we left there. At the time we left, Howard was a deacon. We met together, and we said, this is not right what they're doing. It's not according to Scripture. And we left that church, and I think, was there 13 of us, Howard, or 16? I'm trying to remember. John Wall, 13. John Wall, we had a little girl who was maybe 12, and she's putting her finger to her mouth. She was the youngest of the group, okay? But we were all growing in the Lord. John was the treasurer. If you know John, that's not his forte, but he owned a safe. So it was safe with him, okay? And when we started, we didn't know what we were doing. Okay, my wife and I, we were laughing. We were talking to Trouble over here. She has other nicknames, okay? My adopted daughter, okay? Whatever you want to call her. No, call her Rebecca, please. All right. But we got talking a little bit, and she's saying some of the foolish things we did when we started off, and we needed to learn better. Okay? We didn't know any better. We know we didn't want to practice Halloween like the world. You know, we weren't involved. You know, we knew witchcraft was wrong, and that holiday is a pagan holiday and stuff. But we didn't know better, so we had fun with it. Okay, so we had a fall festival, and people dressed up in costumes. We didn't know any better. Okay, and the lady who won, still part of this church, she put on a sheet and cut holes in it. So you know who she was? The Holy Ghost. Another man put on an Air Force flight suit and a helmet and boxing gloves because he was punchless pilot. We didn't know any better. And then Pastor Christian came to our house, Judy's and mine, and he's going, "You ought not to be partaking of that pagan holiday," and taught us the background. You know what he came to do? Our sanctification. All right? I'm not picking any church that has a fall festival, but you got to be careful you don't try to have it real close to October 31st. All right? But I want you to understand the reason I say that is because God wants you holy. Sometimes we think we need to be like the world so that we can reach the world. And the truth is, we need to be not like the world to reach the world. It goes on in there and it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification," and it explains a little better. It says that ye should abstain from fornication. Why? Because part of the religious practices in Thessalonica was that very thing, fornication. Sexual uncleanness. It could also be applied to spiritual uncleanness. Physical intimacy before marriage and unfaithfulness in marriage all come underneath the background of that word, fornication. To abstain from fornication. Are you ready for me? Probably close to the single greatest problem in Christian males today is what? Do you know what the background of fornication is? Pornea. Where do you think that word leads to? To abstain from that. I had a pastor friend that I loved dearly. We were dealing with a difference about something, and he said somebody wasn't qualified for the ministry. Said he didn't have his home in order. And I told him one qualification. There's over 21 of them for a pastor and a bishop, and nobody meets them all completely. And he goes, "What do you mean?" This man was in my house and he was talking about somebody. It was an evangelist who came. Okay, and I was the assistant pastor. And I said, "I want you to know right now, brother, you're in this home and you're arguing with me and I have a problem." And he goes, "What's that?" And he said, "Not soon angry. And you make me angry." And I said, "Another one of those qualifications is that a pastor is supposed to rule his own house well and have his children in what?" And you know what I knew across this country, especially in Bible-believing churches? You want to see some of the rottenest kids you ever want to find? They're preacher's kids because they think they're entitled many times. Not here. Not here. My poor son, Michael. He told me not to use something as an illustration, but he can't help it with this. Every time something wrong happened, I would yell Michael's name or AJ's name. And Michael would come, "Dad, but it's not my fault. I didn't mean," you know, every time. Because you know what? I was trying to make sure my kids lived up to a standard so they couldn't attack the church through my kids. Okay? I also had to let them know that they didn't answer to everybody. I don't like the term PK. Okay? Sometimes it's used to browbeat a child. Sometimes it's used to identify them. I've watched it even in a public school. You ever seen how teachers' kids get treated differently than non-teachers' kids? Don't believe me, check it out. And you say, why do you bring that up? Because train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not what? And I said to that guy, I said, some of the worst kids I know, some of the worst adults I know are the sons of preachers. And this man's son was sitting at the table with us. And he goes, his 12-year-old. And he goes, you know, Dad, Pastor Legault was right because you just told me about this other church. And all of a sudden the kid goes, ow! The evangelist kicked him under the table. Shut up, boy, you're making me lose the argument. Because the evangelist was complaining about it in another church. You say, why do I say that? Because you know what we're accountable for? What God's word says, not for how we pick and choose which parts we want to live under. If a man is not a homosexual, and no one's born that way, okay? It's never been proven. It can't be proven. The Bible says, you ready? If a man looketh upon a woman with lust in his heart, he hath committed adultery already with her. I had a pastor friend say, oh, brother, that's kind of stiff, isn't it? And I said, I didn't write the Bible. And that's the way I said it to him. I didn't write it. So guess what? You don't answer to me for that. But you're going to answer to somebody. And the conversation changed about the person that he was condemning who didn't measure up for his choice in the ministry. If the man keeps the whole law and offend in one point, he's what? Guys, there's a bunch of guilty men in this church. Amen? And don't look at someone else. I'm not looking at someone else. I'm looking in me. Even the Apostle Paul did that, for he said, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. Fornication. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is one of the reasons you find the Corinthian church being called one of the most carnal of the churches Paul started. Verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is what? Fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among those pagans, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Go to chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Every time I see the word flee, you know what comes to my mind? Joseph. One of the 21 types of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Probably the single greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And I know types break down because Joseph wasn't Jesus. But you know what it says? It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. In the context of that, two verses, 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Last week I told you it's not about me. It's not about my wants. It's about Jesus Christ. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Sounds a little bit like sanctification, doesn't it? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Woo! Okay. Next chapter. Now concerning things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent. The word defraud, to deprive of the right. Okay? To withhold. Okay? Defraud one not one another, except to be of consent for a time that ye give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Other words, the physical relationship comes second to the spiritual. And come together again, physical, that Satan tempt you not for your loss of control. Incontinency. Isn't that what it says? Boy, you think God had something to say about this? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Say, why am I hammering this? Because the divorce rate amongst professing born-again Christians is over 50%. I'm not condemning somebody who has a divorce in their background. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you there's a reason that takes place. Okay? See, if I'm going to be held accountable for God, I'm going to beat the snot out of you guys. Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And sometimes I can't help it. Pastor Kenny just cringes sometimes because I'm rude of speech. Okay? Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh a saint. A saint, one declared righteous by God. If you're saved, you're a saint. If you're not saved, you ain't. All right? Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He was just talking about that this could happen in the churches. So you know what I know from this type of sin? It costs your inheritance. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It will cost you. You're not losing your salvation, but man, you're losing your rewards. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of. Be not ye therefore what? Partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Being set apart for sacred use. That ought to be enough. But go to Romans chapter 7. I'm having a hard time. I'm only dealing with one point in this message, and I'm just giving you all verses on one point of a point. All right? Romans chapter 7. Let by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a what? A matter be established. Romans 7. Look at verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of what? Isn't that another thing that was mentioned back in 1 Thessalonians? Okay. 1 Thessalonians. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in, that's how to possess your body. That's the vessel. In sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. You know what concupiscence is? It's to lust after. It can be irregular desire for sexual pleasure. It could be coveting carnal things. It could be a regular, irregular appetite for worldly goods. That's concupiscence. Now you know what that word means, and I didn't even tell you. Go ask Pastor Kenny. Okay? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Our opening text was in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 3. Look at the context as we read this. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things where? Not on things where? Because where your heart is where you're going to dwell. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore. That's what mortify means, doesn't it? Put it to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And what are they? They are the fleshly things. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of? In which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now also ye put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And it goes down through here. Do you see that? You see it? Concupiscence. We're to be sanctified, not to be fornicators, physical or spiritual. We're not to be caught in our fleshly lusts and let them control us. I kill deer every year because they have no control. I'm telling you. You want to look at a pile of old bones? How they die? Lusting after the doe. They outsmart me through most of bow season. But it comes around Halloween, they get real stupid. And they lose control. And then they get killed, not with Cupid's arrow. Okay. they have no control. You're supposed to be sanctified. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Go to James chapter 1. We're getting close to the end. I'm sorry, I'm carrying just a little bit. I just want to finish this one point of this message. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man when he endureth what? Temptation is not sin. For there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye what? Able to bear it. Doesn't mean temptation's going away. It means you got to be careful where you set your affection and where your heart goes. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So if you give in to temptation, you know what you're saying? You don't love him. We love him because he first loved us. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then lust, when it hath conceived, concupiscence, basically, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll finish up. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because you're having an inordinate affection for his things. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Concupiscence. Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. I was the youth pastor early in this church. I started in 1984, I think. I got saved April 10th, 1977. Okay, yeah, I'm old. And Pastor Christian said, Bryant, you're in charge of visitation. Young church, we don't know what we're doing. You don't send men out by themselves to knock on doors when there's going to be women there. Judy wasn't able to go, so I went out. Someone else went. We went over to a trailer park over off of a road that some of our people live on. It was a small trailer park. We're going through the trailer park, handing out tracts, invitations to some special meetings. And someone had gone to another door. We didn't know. Another guy's going to another door. And I walk up to this door, and a woman in a towel comes to the door. She opens the door, drops the towel, and I run for my life. Because God had made a way of escape. And to dwell there, a woman, very attractive. I don't know what her problem was, but it wasn't going to be my problem. And I have my wife. Okay? Let every man have his own wife, and every wife have her own husband. Okay? And I ran. You know what I learned from that? When I don't know what's going on, I'm taking somebody with me. James DeFerio can tell you of another time it happened to me down in the north end of Fairhaven. I want you to understand this. You're just trying to do right, and the devil will try to get you. And I was going, disposed to, James was with me. He was going to come help me. We were picking up clothes for a young man out of New York City who was messed up. He was staying in our trailer, okay? And there was a woman who was of lesser character that he was staying with. And James and I are going, wait a minute, I better stop. And I went to my sister who lived the north end of Fairhaven. We had to go farther down the north end of Fairhaven. And I said, Kathy, can you ride with me? I don't know what it is. I just don't feel right about this. I know that woman's there, and we're supposed to pick up this guy's, all his clothing and everything that he owned to try to help him. And there was just James and me. And if James had come to the door with me, she could have accused two people. She came to the door. Knock, knock, knock. There was one difference. I'm big. My wife, or my sister Kathy, is a leprechaun. She got behind me. The lady shows up at the door in the most see-through, smallest nightie and looked at me and said, come on in. And I said, Kathy, she invited you in. And she goes, oh, excuse me. When she saw my sister, she runs back and she puts on this long terry cloth bathrobe. It went from her ankles up to her neck when she tied it up. Why? Because sanctified, set apart for God's use. You don't have to be looking for it, and the devil will try to bring it into your life. And I tell you that so that you might understand. Don't go looking for it. Let the devil find you, and then you take God's way of escape, that you might possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.